Let's get into the couple of this. I know I took a little bit of time, and I hope that was helpful, not hurtful to you. We can cover more. Maybe we'll do something Wednesday night and try to give you some more Bible answers. And talk today about 1 Kings through the book of Ezra. This is incredible. We're going to talk number one. Before we do, we got to go back. We got to do our theme. Okay, can we say them together? We'll say all of our three word themes for each book. How many think you can do it? Okay, all right. How many believe you can't? You just know I. Okay. All right, well, let's try it together as a class. All right, here we go. Genesis. Generations to Joseph. Exodus from Egypt. That's right. Leviticus, Levites and sacrifices. Numbers, numbering the Hebrews, right? Yes. Deuteronomy, Hebrews, yes, ma'am. Sorry. Numbering the Hebrews. Deuteronomy, duplicate of law. Very good. Joshua, judgment on Canaan, right. Judges, Jewish sin cycles, very good. And then what's the next one? Joshua, judges, Ruth, right? And that is the romance of redemption, all right? And then 1 Samuel, and Saul, 2 Samuel, very good, summary of David, and that's all we covered. All right, almost as bad as taking a DMV test, isn't it? 1 Kings, so Jen, J-S, so we've covered the timeline books, right? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, those moving through, and then Joshua, Judges, and then 1 and 2 Samuel, and now we're in the K part. So Jen, J-S-K, Ben, through those 12 timeline periods through the Old Testament. 1 Kings. 1 Kings this morning is kingdom is divided. Kingdom is divided. So the word king should give you a launch there into kingdom. Solomon inherited his father David's kingdom and pushed this new federalism, so to speak, into its farthest frontiers to date in Israel's history. God's temple was a rival to any other wonder in the ancient world. They were a testimony of God's creativity and beauty, really. The people, though, requested a tax reduction because they took a lot to build that temple. But that tax deduction was rejected by Solomon's son. His name was Rehoboam. So when David reigned for how many years? Saul reigned for how many years? And then Solomon reigned for how many years? All right, so the first three kings of Israel were 120 years. Then Rehoboam comes on the scene, and before he takes over the kingdom, he consults with the older men in the kingdom and says, what should I do? And they said, if you'll relinquish some of those taxes, the people will follow you. If you'll love them, they'll follow you. He went to the young men. He asked them, what you do? He said, man, make your pinky thicker than your father's loins. I mean, come down hard on them. And so he followed their advice. And what happened? The kingdom revolted against them. 10 tribes then seceded from what we're calling here the UTI, which is basically the United Tribes of Israel. Okay, so 10 tribes broke off, which meant there was a rival Hebrew king in a separate capital now. And this is down through history. It happens all the time. Division and then competition. Division and then competition. And so, by the way, the devil always likes to divide and conquer. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. I can get Eve separate from Adam, I can conquer. That's what he does with you and your children. If you can get them thinking you're crazy, then he can work in their minds. And this is what he does. He divides and conquers. So here's Israel being conquered by Satan And the north kingdom, northern part of the kingdom, was called Israel, and the southern was called Judah. And you see that little division there in your notes. Israel has 10 tribes there, and then Judah takes 2 tribes. What was important about Judah's 2 tribes compared to the 10 tribes? They had good kings. They had something else, though. Which was the what? Of the Messiah, right? So they had the line of the Messiah in Judah, in the southern part of the kingdom. Which by the time Jesus shows up, all the tribes to the north in Galilee are considered rednecks. That's Matt Marshall's interpretation, but that's what they thought. They were from the hill country. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? They thought they're a bunch of hicks, okay? And so there were 2 people in Jesus' ministry, and I should say 2 of people, okay, 12 tribes, excuse me, 12 disciples with Jesus, and then Jesus, right? So you have a total of 13. Of those 13, only 2 were from Judah. The rest were from Galilee. Guess which 2 were from Judah? 13, 12 apostles and Jesus. 2 are from Judah. Nope. Jesus was 1. Guess who the other one is? Who? Judas. Everyone else is from Galilee, which is why they were so trusting of Judas to hold the bag of money, because he was of the royal tribe. Which is why none of them suspected it to be Judas. And he's the type of the Antichrist. What is the Antichrist? It's not just against, it's imitation Christ. The Antichrist will come literally imitating Jesus. That's why the Jews will accept him. He looks just like the Messiah. It's wild. But he will deceive the whole world. And they will think he is the return of God's king. Isn't that different? We think that he's this brute guy that comes in. No. How is it that he gets Arabs, Muslims, and Jews to sit down in peace talks? How does he do that? He's related. He's a part of them. And that's a big deal to Jewish people. And so he brokers peace. But then he breaks that covenant. Just like Judas was a part of Jesus' ministry for 3.5 years, and nobody suspected that he was part of the enemy. And then the Bible says, then entered Satan into Judas. Crazy. And he's a type of the Antichrist. And there's a lot you could say about that. But let's move on. I hope I don't give you too much. I know some of you are looking at me like, I need more coffee. So do I. What do you think has been happening to me over the last 24 hours? What is going on? Look, we talked about it before. War in the Middle East has been going on forever. Ishmael is prophesied to be a wild man. The reason why we don't deal with Ishmael is we don't understand Ishmael. We think Ishmael can be appeased. When you release $6 billion of sanctions and give it to them, they're not going to buy pizza. They're not building homes. They've been putting drones across the border for months, for years. They've been sending homemade rockets. And the Iron Dome, which is funded by America, has been protecting them. How did they get across is my big question. So, I don't know. There's a traitor. Somewhere there's a traitor. This is cool. 1 Kings was written by Jeremiah. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Jeremiah lived during part of that time, 1 and 2 Kings, but he wrote the kings, the history of the kings, as history when he was alive in his ministry. So he's the author, 22 chapters, and the key word here is divided, right? So what's the 3-word theme of 1 Kings? Is kingdom is divided. So it's a key word. Key verse is chapter 11, verse 13, howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, God said, but will give 1 tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So God punished Israel, the northern kingdom, and sent them into Assyria. But he said, I'm going to leave. And they split. And he said, I'm going to leave a tribe to you. And those two tribes are in the southern part. The purpose is to give, or to show, rather, the cause, or causes, for division in the people and in that nation. And here's a thought for you this morning in 1 Kings. The only way to rule is to be ruled by God. Everything else will fail. And Israel and Judah learned that. Everything else will fail if it's not ruled by God. That's your marriage. That's my marriage. That's your thought life. That's my thought life. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you want to rule it, you will ruin it. You can only see joy if God's in control. Amen? Second Kings, kingdoms taken captive. So kingdom is divided. So when think of it this way. Once it's divided, how many kingdoms do you have now? You have two. So plural, kingdoms taken captive. Kingdom is divided, kingdoms taken captive. Both of them recorded in 2 Kings. After 19 evil kings, Israel was captured by Assyria, which their capital was Nineveh, and the people were scattered. By the way, that region of the world is in the news right now with Syria. And Jordan is right to the east, so supposedly peaceful, and they will not be. When this thing finally goes down, I'm not saying it's going to be today. It could be tomorrow. I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know when, but when it goes down, all those that are peaceful with Israel, they will turn. They will turn against Israel. The whole world is going to come against Israel in Jerusalem, and God will miraculously deliver them. And no one will be able to stand against Jesus Christ. He will deliver them. So, later on, we got these 19 evil kings, but then later on, there's a total of 19 kings and one queen in Judah. And then Judah's people were exiled to Babylon. We call that the B-E, remember? So Jen, J-S-K, and we're right there in that B of Ben. The Babylonian exile comes right here at the end of 2 Kings, okay? This is overarching. Remember, we're overarching look of the Bible. It's a panoramic view. Only 8 southern kings receive an overall grade of good from God. And then remember, they wanted a king. They begged for the king. We have to have a king. And so there was only about 8 good kings that God said, these are good men. So the author of 2 Kings, again, is Jeremiah, who was living, he was a contemporary of the things that he's writing about in 2 Kings. The word is captivity, 25 chapters, and the key verse is chapter 23, verse 27. The first part says, and the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel. So about 100 years between Israel taken to Assyria and Judah taken to Babylon. About 100 years between. And God continued to send prophets and warnings to the southern kingdom, saying, repent. So here's the purpose. The purpose of 2 Kings was to show the ultimate end of a nation that forgets God. I am amazed as I read the Word of God how many different ways God warns us. I mean, specific. And you study Ezekiel, you study Jeremiah, and he has them do the craziest object lessons. Israel, this is what's going to happen, okay? I'm going to take one of my men, I'm going to have his wife die. And the next day, he's not going to be allowed to cry at all. That's a sign, Israel, a sign, Judah, about what's going to happen in the captivity. Listen to me, listen to me. I'm going to have one of my prophets eat human dung. And that's when Jeremiah says, oh, Lord God. God, I want out of the ministry. This was not in any class that I took. No one talked about this as a requirement. The Lord said, okay, I'll let you eat cow's dung. Okay, I guess that's a good alternative. And And they literally ate cow's dung in front of the people. Why? That's all the food you're going to have when Babylon comes in and surrounds your city. I'm just so amazed at how easily I forget the straightforward things that God tells me. God is very, 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 very gracious and long-suffering. But when he judges, it's swift and it's decisive. So we need to listen to him. We need to listen to his word. And so he says in 2 Kings, look, this is what happens when my kids won't listen to me. And I gave him a lot of warning. 1 Chronicles. There's one of those two books here, and we'll finish with these. 1 Chronicles, those two books were there's a lot of content from Samuel and Kings. And so what we're going to say is 1 Chronicles is a commentary on Samuel. 1 Chronicles is God's commentary on the same story as 2 Samuel. All right, so don't let yourself get confused there that it's 1 Samuel. It's actually 2 Samuel that 1 Chronicles comments on or adds some supplementary content for. So the divine editor's front page story really is about David's preparation to build God a temple, which would have made life easier for Solomon. Now, why 1 Chronicles talks about David's temple is because 1 Chronicles was written later, after Israel has already been, or Judah, excuse me, been taken into Babylon. And so when they come back into the land, they're concerned about where the temple is supposed to go, how to build the walls, their nations coming back together. So the content of 1 Chronicles would then say, oh, we need to talk about the temple. And so it does. It talks about David building the temple. It's telling a new generation of what God did in this land many 70 years ago, or before that. Does that make sense? You follow me on that? So 1 Chronicles is covering the temple and the rebuild of that. 2 Samuel talks about the throne. 1 Chronicles talks about the temple. 2 Samuel has no genealogies. 9 chapters of genealogies in 1 Chronicles because, anybody want to guess? Yes, but remember, when was 1 Chronicles written? After the exile. So what's happening? They're trying to gather the people back, and they need to tell them, you're related to this person. You're related to this person. You're related to this person. Here's your responsibility. You were set over the, you know, Levites. You're supposed to help this in the temple, and you build this wall, and right? So there's more genealogy in 1 Chronicles because they're coming back from 70 years of captivity. If they came and took California, and when I say they, I don't know who they are, but if they were going to come take us and take us away for 70 years, and then we came back, we'd have to try to find, and by the way, they destroyed all the records. We'd have to try to find, okay, Bob, you're related to who? Okay, you live there? All right, well, then that's your place where you used to live, right? And this is Bob Williams of San Jose, okay? And his lot is here, and his lot. So 1 Chronicles lays out where everybody's supposed to live and who they're related to so they can set their nation back up. That in itself is a miracle. Israel has been brought back as a people at least twice. So miraculously, God has preserved her over and over again. Notice there's no mention of Bathsheba in 1 Chronicles. That's interesting. God's grace there. And then you see that uptick in the life in the chapters kind of leveled off. 2 Samuel 11 and 12 is what? You may know what happened in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. It's Bathsheba. And so then the nation started to go down under David's rule. You started to see death and betrayal and all of that. Sin always complicates life. Sin always complicates life. Always complicates life. So, pleasure for a season, payment afterwards. Church, be warned. Sin always complicates life. Nip it in the bud stage, not when it's a full plant. Guys, just turn the thing off. Ladies, just leave it alone. Don't mess with it. Sin always complicates life. and it complicated life for David the king. Big time. Let's give you this and we'll be done with that. Ezra is the one that wrote First Chronicles, and that was after he returned, after that return from captivity. We'll cover that next week about Ezra. But it has 29 chapters, and because of those 9 chapters of genealogies, if you make it through Numbers and you get to Deuteronomy, whew, and you get to Joshua, Judges, okay, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, right? The chronicling of the kings and the people that are related to them, right? It could be a little bit heady, but the key word is the temple. Again, we're bringing the nation back. The verse is, then said David, 1 Chronicles 15:2, then said David, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. So again, Ezra saying, David, the king, put the Levites in charge. They're the ones that are supposed to carry the ark. So, hey, nation, as you come back together, remember, it is David. It is David. That's the line. Levites, that's the line. You say, why is that important? The 10 northern tribes, when they seceded and broke off from the 12 tribes, they made up their own religion under Jeroboam. And they put a temple in Dan, and they put a temple in Beersheba, north and southern part. They made up their own religion. So when God's bringing back the true people, he says, look, it's been put through David. That's the right king. David, David. And he keeps record of that. Why? Matthew chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is the son of Abraham and the son of David. He's keeping track of the Messiah's lineage and his genealogy. And that's why he could prove he was the king of the world. And he's coming back soon. Amen? So here's the purpose of 1 Chronicles, to remind Israel of their national identity and to preserve the genealogy of Christ, just like I was talking about. Here's who you are, here's where you live, and here's Jesus, my king, my ruler. I'm going to put him on my throne named Jesus Christ. He is also called the Son of Man. He's also called the Son of Abraham. He's called the Son of David. He claims all of those titles because he is all of those things. Now, he has not physically reigned on this earth yet, Jesus. He's not physically reigned on this earth. He came the first time to offer himself as Messiah, and Israel said no. But as many as receive him, to them give you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so, but very soon, he will come back. He will come back. Okay, let me give you this thought and we're done. When I said the 10 nations are going to come against Israel, you know what that is? It's going to be Armageddon. That's the big war. When that happens, Israel is going to be persecuted and she's going to flee. And she's going to hide in a place called Sela Petra. She's going to go to the rocks and hide. And she's going to be fleeing all over the northern part of Israel, eastern part of Israel, trying to flee from the wrath of the Antichrist. And guess who's going to show up? Jesus Christ. He's going to show up after the Great Tribulation, after the marriage of the Supper of the Lamb, all that, the judgment seat of Christ, all that's done in heaven while tribulation is going on earth. When that's done, Jesus comes back on a white horse with 10,000s of thousands behind him. You know who that's going to be? Moi. I'm going to be on one of those horses. And the Bible talks about him coming to the Mount of Olives, and he lands on the Mount of Olives, and he splits the Mount of Olives in half. You know what he does? He delivers Israel. So Satan keeps trying to come against Israel. He keeps fighting against her. When you see 10 nations show up, you start to see these things, these beginning of sorrow, you see that? If you hear in the news in the next few days that there are 10 people or 10 nations, I don't know. It could be it. It could be it. So here's what I say. God does not need to fulfill one more thing. He doesn't have to. Be ready. Be ready. Be in his word. Have your heart right with him. Purify yourselves, even as he is pure, and tell other people. Yeah, they've been saying Jesus is coming for decades. Yep, and then all of a sudden, boom, it happens. Be ready. If you got family, witness to them. If you got neighbors, witness to them. People are going to have questions. Tell them the Lord's returning and tell them how to be saved. We'll cover these others next week, but be encouraged and be ready to give an answer and be ready to worship him this next hour. Thank you for listening. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. We have donuts in the back if you'd like.